the last few weeks, we've been thinking about how we can be a church that looks forward into the future that God has in store for us, rather than just looking backwards and holding on to all that God has done, look into the future as well. And we've looked at how, as we look forward, we need to pursue wisdom because God is wise. And so if we want to go God's way, then we need to pursue his wise ways as we go forward. We've reminded ourselves that the mission and vision of the church is the same, that we are called to be people who cultivate a harvest, sharing the good news that we have in Jesus. And we thought a little bit about how we can do that together. And this morning, we're going to explore how we can be people of hope. And as we do so, we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 40 together. But before we go any further, I'm going to pray. We'll then read the Bible together and then spend a few moments thinking about what it might have to say to us this morning. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way in which it reveals who you are and gives us an insight to the wonderful God you are and all that you have done for us. Lord, as we come to read this passage now, we pray that you would be moving, you would be speaking, that your word would be living and active in our lives as we come to hear what you might have to say to us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you've got a Bible, then you're more than welcome to turn to it. We're looking at Isaiah 40, and we're doing the first 11 verses of that. Alternatively, the words will be up on the screen if you'd like to follow along as we read together. But this is what the prophet Isaiah says. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." For the last month, I have been a person of great hope. I've been living in the hope that finally football might be coming home. And just in time for the summer holidays, it's disappeared off to Spain. So my hope has gone for another 2 years, but hope remains. But this morning, I want to talk a little bit about being people of hope and how, as a church community here, we might be people of hope. Hope is incredibly powerful. Hope motivates and inspires us. Hope keeps us going when times get tough. Hope brings people together and to unite around a common cause that they are hoping to achieve together. The power of hope can often be seen most clearly when hope disappears. When we lose that sense of hope, our mental health and our well-being can plummet. When we lose hope, we can question the direction and the purpose of our lives. Without hope, we can easily find ourselves falling into a state of despair, worthlessness, and depression. Hope is powerful. And the good news as a church that we stand for today is that we are people of hope. Hope that can transform lives. Hope that has the power to change the world. At the core of this passage is a message of hope. You may have not heard it if you're not familiar to the prophet Isaiah, but to fully understand this hope, we need to first understand the context in which Isaiah was writing this prophecy. The book of Isaiah has two key sections contained within it. The first section starts back in chapter 6, and in chapter 6, Isaiah is commissioned by God to go and challenge and rebuke God's people for the way in which they are living their lives, for the way they've rebelled from him, turned away from him, and it's a book or a message of judgment and condemnation. The second section starts here in Isaiah chapter 40. And this time, Isaiah is commissioned with a new message. Instead of sending a message of rebuke and judgment, Isaiah's message is one that is of comfort, of restoration to people who have been suffering as a result of the decisions they've made to live their lives in ways counter to that which God wanted them to live. It's really important that we understand not only the message of comfort that Isaiah offers in this passage, but also we recognize the context in which that comfort is given. God's people were in a hopeless place, and they were in that place because of the decisions and the way that they had chosen to live their own lives. The message of hope starts in brokenness. If we start to think that we are in some way self-righteous, if we start to think that we are good enough, if we start to think that, do you know what, God would be lucky to have someone like me, then we're on shaky ground. The wonder of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is that hope starts in brokenness. Hope sets captives free. Hope lifts up the brokenhearted. Hope is found in the mercy and grace of Jesus. As John Newton proclaimed in the hymn that I'm sure many of us know, Amazing Grace, our hope is found in the fact that Jesus saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. To fully experience the hope of Jesus, we first of all need to recognize our brokenness, that actually we have something to hope for, that we have sinned, that we have turned against God, that we're not good enough by our own efforts, but by his grace, we have hope. If you're here this morning or joining us online and you know that sense of feeling hopeless, then please can I encourage you that you can still have hope. If you're here this morning and feeling like there's that sense of brokenness and despair around you, you can still have hope. This has been my story. It's Helen's story that we'll hear more as she gets baptized today. In Jesus, we can all find hope. No matter how dark or troubled our lives might be, we can all have hope because to a broken people, God says, comfort my people. A few weeks ago, I had lunch with a friend, and as we ate and chatted together, I was sharing about all that was going on in our lives, how unsettling it all was, and all the things that were going through my little mind at the time. And as we chatted, one of the things I shared with my friend was, do you know what, Rob? I really don't think or don't know if I'm going to be good enough. Now, a little bit too quickly, my friend turned round to me and said, well, Matt, we can put that straight to bed straight away because you're not good enough. But by God's grace, you are good enough. And he was right. Hope starts in brokenness. It starts by recognizing that we have a problem that we can't fix on our own. This is true of me, it's true for Helen, it's true for each one of us here. We all need Jesus. Not one of us is righteous, not one of us is good enough. We all need the grace of Jesus to give us hope. So how in our brokenness can we be people of hope? The first thing this passage shows us is that we can have hope by knowing our true identity. In verse 1, God speaks and offers comfort to his people. Hear that, it's to his people. We may have rebelled, we may be broken, everything might seem hopeless, yet God brings a message of comfort into that brokenness. And he says, you can have hope today because you are still my people. Knowing our true identity can transform our lives. This is about more than just a sense of self-confidence, but it's an awareness of who and what makes us or who we are. The theme of being God's people is one that runs throughout the whole of the Bible. There are times in the Bible where people didn't want to be God's people. There are also times in the Bible where God looks at his people and says, well, if you're going to behave like that, if you want to make those decisions, then you can't claim to be my people because you're not representing the identity and the values of who you are in me. But as we hear in verse 2, God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness always endure. And God continues to declare, you are my people. God created each one of us in his image. The story of the Bible is how God is bringing those of us that he's made in his image into a new and greater relationship with himself, despite how broken we might be. We have hope because we are God's people. And as his people, we stand in the shadow of his character. God is good. He is faithful. He provides for those in need. He is love. He transforms. And we are his. And as we grasp this identity that we are God's people, it in turn gives us hope. Because no longer do our circumstances define us. The financial struggle we're in, the cloud of depression, the toil of strain of life, the concern for our own health and well-being, well, none of those are greater than the fact that I am one of God's people. And so it helps us see our challenges in a new perspective. Not only do our circumstances not define us, but we also no longer define ourselves. It's easy, like I do, to start to believe what we sometimes see in ourselves. We can question our abilities. We can question our appearance. We can question our self-worth, our talents, and so much more. But we know our identity. When we know our identity, we know that our hope is not found in what I see in me, but rather in what God sees in me. And God says, you are my people. You are made in my image. This is the wonder of grace and the hope that we can all live. Jesus finds us in our brokenness and he calls us his. This morning, do you need to know that truth? You are God's and that is all. There's nothing else that defines you because you are his. Are you looking for hope, but maybe looking in all the wrong places? Can I encourage you today to hear this message of comfort and hope that God offers to us all today? Just as Helen has experienced, just as I've experienced, just as hundreds of other people have experienced it here in this church and across the city, you can have hope today. Because your identity is in God alone. We can also be people of hope because God is coming to meet with his people. Having offered words of comfort and forgiveness, God tells us to prepare for an encounter. They might have felt like they were out in the wilderness, God's people, as Isaiah spoke these words to them. It might seem like there were no signs of life and no future ahead of them. But he says the Lord is coming and nothing is going to get in his way. Valleys will be raised, mountains will be lowered, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Let me ask you a question this morning, if you're still awake and listening to me. What could you do to know the hope that God offers to you today? What could you do in the midst of our brokenness to make a difference and to get to know God more? Now, it can be so easy to answer that question with a whole load of things that we can do. We must read our Bibles more. We must go to church every Sunday. We must pray, and we must try and be a better person. Then I will know God. Then I will know the hope that I can have in Him. And don't mishear me. All those things are good, and I commend them to you and encourage you to practice them. But God doesn't just leave us to fight and claw our way back to Him by our own efforts and by what we do. Our encounter with God is not dependent upon me. It's not dependent on anything else. Instead, when we are broken and it feels like all hope has gone, God calls out and says, "Get ready, I'm coming. Prepare a way, I am coming to you. You don't have to come to me, I am coming to you." This image reminds me of the parable of the lost son in Luke 15. Many of us will know this story well. The prodigal son knew what it was to experience brokenness. He made several decisions in his life that were not helpful. He found himself at rock bottom. And yes, he turns to make his way back home to go back to the father. But as he turns, the father doesn't just wait for him to reach and claw his way back to the house. Instead, we're told in Luke 15, verse 20, that whilst he was still a long way off, his father saw him. He was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. As we look forward, we can have hope because God wants to lead us and move us into a new life with Him. We don't have to make that journey alone. When we have no strength of our own, when we feel like we've lost all hope and don't see any future ahead of us, God comes to meet us where we are. You don't have to make your way to God. God is willing to come to you. And the greatest example of this is that we see in Jesus. In a broken world, God didn't wait for us to find our way back to Him, but Jesus stepped down from the glory of heaven that His glory might be revealed in the world where we are. This morning, may we know that Jesus doesn't wait for us to lift ourselves up by our bootstraps. Instead, He comes and lifts you up. He comes and finds you, that then you might find your way home with Him. No matter how bleak our brokenness might appear, no matter how hopeless you might feel, no matter what you are hoping for this morning, you can have hope because Jesus will come and meet you where you are. Having encountered this hope, we're also have the privilege and the responsibility of sharing the hope that we find with those around us. In verse 9, we're told that if we have good news, then we should go up into the mountains to bring it into Jerusalem, to lift up our voices and share the hope that we all have found in Jesus. This is the mission and the ministry of the church and each person within it. We are people of hope, proclaiming the hope of Jesus to all around us, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, across Cambridge and beyond, beyond and around the world. How can we be people of hope that share this message of hope that we have seen and encountered in Jesus? That's what being church is all about. It's about knowing the hope that Jesus offers, but it's also about revealing and proclaiming that hope to those around us too. And this passage closes in verse 11 by telling us something of the character and nature of God. Isaiah says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers them in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. This prophecy was written almost 3,000 years ago. And as we read these words this morning, we do so in the privilege of seeing all that God has been doing since Isaiah spoke these words to God's people all that time ago. The hope of Isaiah 40 is not just a prophetic picture that we're still waiting to be fulfilled, but it has been fulfilled and it continues to be fulfilled in Jesus. Isaiah saw a shepherd coming to care for the sheep. And in John 10, one of my favorite Bible passages, Jesus stands before the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, and declares this: "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." For Jesus said in verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." We have a reason to hope. We can be people of hope today because of Jesus. This is why Helen is being baptized this morning. The people we know throughout our lives, throughout our community, throughout our church, throughout the whole world, we can all have hope today because of Jesus and the fullness of the life that he offers to us all. If you want to live the best version of your life, all you need to do is to look to Jesus. In the midst of our brokenness, when all around us seems to be crumbling and falling, when all we see is darkness and despair, still we can have hope because of the grace of God revealed to us in Jesus. Regardless of how broken we are, Jesus will come and we can encounter him and he will reveal his glory, and that will always give us hope. So whatever lies ahead of us all this morning, can I encourage us all to be people who continue to have hope and to find that hope that Jesus offers to us all? And if I can speak to the church family at Arbury Road here for a moment and share what will be my last message as your minister this morning, can I encourage you to keep looking forward? Because as you do so, you can have hope. You are God's people here in this place. He loves you, he is with you, and he wants to continue to proclaim the hope that you have in him. So let's declare and proclaim the wonder of the amazing grace that we have in Jesus. And as we're told in the book of Hebrews, let's look forward and hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, because we are people of hope. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that this morning we can have hope. That in all that is going on in our world, that all is going on in our lives, this morning we can have hope because we know that we are your people, that we are made in your image, that you love us and care for us, that your grace has gone further still than even our greatest mistakes. And Lord, we pray that we would continue to know the wonder of the hope that you offer to us all this morning. As we go from this place, may we know the gift of life that you give to us all, and help us to know and find that fullness of life that we alone can find through Jesus. In his wonderful name we pray. Amen.